salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I sort of feel like the, what would they call it, the D-Day? What was that day called? I don't even know if there was a name for that day, but man, excited, really excited about the week that lies ahead of us here. Finally, it's January 4th. I mean, I don't know about you guys, when it hits New Year's Eve and it becomes the new year, not a whole lot of impact there. You're kind of coming down and all that stuff, but boy, we're into it now, aren't we? We are really, really into what's going on, ready to move forward, and excited about our trip to D.C. I got to do this before I forget, because I didn't put it in my notes. L.A. Marzulli is going to join us tomorrow. I don't know how many of you know who L.A. is. L.A. is, I'd say, the world's expert on Nephilim, giants, all that stuff. And L.A.'s in the process. He lived in California, got burnt out of California. He moved to Oklahoma. He's been there for a while, and he's going back to California. Actually, tomorrow will be his last day before moving out. I don't know why. Can somebody tell me why my everything I'm saying showing up on my screen? Does anybody know? Spencer, I got it at your end. It's distracting me. It's like, God, I just said that, and there's in front of me. So LA is going to be with us tomorrow. We'll talk about the Serpent Man. We'll talk about all that kind of stuff. Yada, yada. I had to get that in before I forget. Okay, DC trip. I don't want to take a whole lot of time talking about this. If you have questions about anything, those of you who are going to Washington, DC, any questions at all, get a hold of me. Email me, coach@coachdavelive.com, and I'll get you to the right person. I got to tell you something. Polly Heath she's been relentless in her efforts. Gary Pierce has been relentless in his efforts. Chad's been relentless in his efforts. Clay Parker has been relentless in his efforts. Here I'm going to forget somebody else. Bobby Lee has been relentless in his efforts, which we're going to try to move 100. Jeff Klein's been relentless in his efforts. We're going to try to move 120 people together in Washington, D.C. on the beginning tomorrow. We're going to leave out tomorrow morning. We'll be together for, you know, 36 hours or so. And just pray, all of you out there who are not part of the trip, just pray for safe for traveling mercies. See, here's part of our problem. We don't have any idea what we're going into. I've seen reports that there might be 4 million people in Washington, D.C. 4 million. We were there a couple months ago, or a month, 6 weeks ago, for about 1 million, they said. And there are people everywhere. I can't imagine what 4 million would be like. And so the idea of keeping everybody together and moving together and, you know, handling all the logistics of it. And, man, we had a meeting on the phone again last night. We got everything down the best we can. But at some point, listen now, I kept trying to tell them this. Listen, folks, we're dealing with adults. We shouldn't have to hold the hand of adults, right? So we've done the best we can trying to lay out the plans and where we're going to meet and where we're going to stay and tram tickets, you know, the train ticket, all that stuff. We hopefully have all that. And then there's all the things that you just can't factor in. And you can't worry about. I mean, you have to be cognizant of those things, but you can't worry about it. You can't worry about the things that you don't know. What if they shut down the railway? Huh? What if they do? Coach, what if there's a roadblock and they don't let us in town? Well, what if they do? Coach, what if there's no Jiffy Johns? Well, what if it? I can't answer those things for you. I just can't answer it, okay? We're trying to make plans as normally as people would do when they go to Washington, D.C., knowing full well that those plans probably are going to change, okay? So we're doing the best we can to try to get everybody to and from the hotel and to and from the train and to and from the train to wherever we're going to go and getting them back home again. That's really what we're trying to do. So we're excited about it. Folks, I think this is a watershed moment in American history. I really, really believe it. A watershed moment. We're in the midst of a watershed moment in American history. That's what I think. And I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what the future looks like in regards to this thing we call America. I don't know what it looks like. But I believe we're at a watershed moment tomorrow. And I'll tell you why I think it's so critical. I think the left's all in. I think the left's do or die. I think whether we want to admit it or not, President Trump has some goods, or somebody does, NSA, whoever. And the left is doing everything they can to try to overthrow or silence or shut down, not allow the information to be released. And it's my understanding that on January 6th, at the joint session of Congress, there's going to be some unbelievable stuff that's going to be released. Stuff that might, in fact, bring almost, I'm not, listen, not fear porn, okay? Almost bring the collapse of the American government. The depth. I want you to ask yourself this, folks. This is a question. Maybe somebody can answer it to me. Since Watergate, can you name one example of government accountability in your life? Since when? Where those in high office were held accountable. Can anybody name one for me?
Nope.
And I'm saying you're probably not going to be able to. And Watergate was what, 1974? Watergate was 74. That's 46 years ago? There's been no government accountability in 46 years, nearly half a century. We call it the swamp, the mob, call it whatever you want to. They've been running freely, unaccountable, knowing that basically they were going to be able to get away with whatever they planned, whatever they did. And the depth of government corruption is so unbelievably deep that I believe that we are right now at a make or break time in American history. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't even know what it's going to be like. I don't know what it's like. How can you make a plan? What's going to be like in 2 weeks? What if Donald Trump does, in fact, drop the mother of all bombs in regards to data, information? Lynn Wood says Jeffrey Epstein's still alive. I read yesterday somebody said one of the key things is going to be Jeffrey Epstein is still alive and the evidence will be presented Wednesday. At the Senate hearing, all the corruption. The speculation is wild and crazy, isn't it? I just know this. We're in the crucible. Right now we're in it. And how this thing plays out is yet to be determined. But I'm very honored that I'm going to be in D.C. doing the best that I can for my children and my grandchildren, as others are. Now, we have several dilemmas. Bear with me here. What do we do when we get there? I've been there 3 times. This might be my 3rd time in the last 6 weeks. Why do I want to go back to D.C. and chant 4 more years again? Why do I want to do that? 4 more years, 4 more years. I don't want to go do that. It seems like such a waste of time to go do that. But yet there's an urgency upon me and an urgency upon many that this is the time that we need to arise. What happens once we get there? We get 4 million people in Washington, D.C. If we just turn around and go home and nothing's changed, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know what the plan would be. I don't know what citizens arrest. Where's Goober Pyre or Gomer? Where's he when he needs it? I don't know. But I think a show here's the truth. We're in a political upheaval like we've never seen. The Republicans and the Democrats, are you looking at me? Are the same party. Republicans and the Democrats, with few exceptions in Washington, D.C., are the same. They're the same party. Do you ever see anybody, by the way, on the left, on the Democratic Party? Do you ever see them break ranks with their party? Ever, ever, never do. And I was surprised, pleasantly surprised to see that 100, it's right now, I think 109 guys in the House of Representatives are going to question the election. Looked like it wasn't going to be anybody for a while. Now it's 109. But say what you want, President Trump has his own party. This is his own party. And we are it. We are it. We're it. And so the importance of what we're getting ready to do this weekend, I don't know if it can be measured. I'm not off to a real strong start here. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about, but that's just on my heart that I believe what we're getting ready to see is going to require more courage than most of us have ever been able to muster in our lives. That's what I think. Maybe not this trip to Washington, D.C. The day's coming ahead. Because if the left knows they're going to lose, they're going to burn the city down on the way out. Anybody disagree with that? They're going to burn everything to the ground. Just watch how they've acted. That's what I sense is going to be going on. There's some great videos on our website. I put up about three or four of them. CoachDaveLive.com/videos. All that stuff I can't. We are so overwhelmed with information, much of it disinformation, right? We know that. You know what it is? Maybe it was Craig that called it? Hopium. Hopium. We get on the internet and we search for hope that something good's going to happen. And that's what's keeping many of us moving forward. We'll know here soon, in the next 4 or 5 days, exactly what's going on. Got some great stuff to share with you today. I'm going up and give somebody a chance to respond if they can real quick. Anybody got something they want to say? I don't see any hands in the air, but I thought I would just invite somebody in here right away. Go ahead, Rachel. And then Tim, you go next. Go ahead, Rachel.
Good morning. L.A. Marzulli is amazing. Just a real quick tease. He's collected these amazing skulls and sent them in for DNA research, and the labs won't even talk to him anymore because he's got real evidence. And the other thing about Epstein, I don't think he's dead. Mossad, don't kill Mossad.
That's right. I don't think he's dead. I think, really, if we can hold on, I think if the unveiling, the revealing continues, what we're going to see is going to shock the world, I think. Come on in, Tim.
So this is Naomi. So we got mail, and it's political stuff, of course. And, you know, we've got the runoff election here in Georgia. And this piece of mail says the election can't be stolen as long as we all show up. It can't be stolen as long as we all show up. But here in Georgia, we've had unprecedented attendance. So this is a bunch of garbage.
Yep. Information, misinformation, and really not much in that whole election process down there in Georgia has changed. So it's going to be hard to kind of trust that again. Come on in, Luann.
All right, there we are. We've also had 2 bombings in Pittsburgh last night, if anybody didn't know that.
Well, they're mad because the Browns beat the Steelers. That's what they're mad about.
Yes. But yes, this is going to be epic. This is going to be a life-changing opportunity that God is going to deliver.
Buckle up.
And I do believe that.
Fighting for our children and our grandchildren. Come on in, Jim, Amen. And then Glenn. Go ahead, Jim, then Glenn.
Supposedly, there's supposed to be a video drop from Project Veritas today, and he was referencing Warnock.
Yep. Project Veritas, I saw a meme, a tweet they put out, whatever I saw. They've been on the ground undercover for, I think he said, 6 weeks in Georgia. I think they got some good stuff to release, you know. So I'm telling you, nothing hidden will not be revealed. We'll see what's going on there. Come on in, Glenn.
Jerome Corsi's he's starting the MAGA party. He's pushing forward an effort to do that. I saw in Corsi Nation. The other thing I was wondering, Coach, do you know where Rob Portman stands?
Rob Portman is a deep state guy. Yeah, I called his office yesterday, in fact. Rob Portman, let me tell you something about Rob Portman. He's our senator, our good conservative senator here in the state of Ohio. And before Rob Portman, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, Rob Portman was the first what they would call conservative Republican to endorse homosexual marriage because, are you ready? His son was one. And he'd given a lot of deep thought to it, and he thought, well, his son deserved to get married just like everybody else. Rob Portman, that's your U.S. senator. So I called his office yesterday.
Isn't that beautiful?
Isn't that beautiful, right? Isn't that beautiful? And then Pat Toomey, I saw this. Pat Toomey gives out this piece from Pennsylvania. He gave out this flowery statement that I will not allow the election to be stolen from the people of Pennsylvania who put their votes in, their votes count. See, Can I say dumb ASS? Am I allowed to say that? Because that's what I want to say. Hey, you dumb ASS.
Go ahead.
You're stealing it from the rest of us, you dummy. I mean, it's just like, they can't be that dumb. See, they're bought, sold. They're all connected. So that's why, real quickly, Spencer, Trump Party. YouTube, I want to play this with you. Hey, listen, friends. I'm not in love with Donald Trump, all right? I don't have a man crush on Trump. But I'm smart enough to see which way the river's running. And the river's running away from the Republican Party. I say, praise the Lord, to a Patriot Party or some other type of party. How about this? How about a Christian-based party? What if we were to stand up and force a Christian-based party? We don't have any Christian-based parties anymore. We got the God haters and the God haters light. That's what we have, right? We have the no Jesus and a little bit of Jesus light. That's the two parties that we have. And the majority of us are Christians. And thank God now that we can see exactly what's going on in America, maybe some of those woke Democrats will say, hey, I don't want to be a Democrat anymore. I don't want to be with that. I want to be with these Christians. Maybe there's hope if we do that. That's kind of the way I see it. Now, this was on Newsmax TV, I think, although I don't know. And I just want you to listen to this. This is about a six-minute video. Maybe you can, Spencer, maybe you can play it at about one and a half time speed. And folks, I just want you to listen. Watch this. Trump doesn't have any party. Trump doesn't have a party. Yeah, Jack. Is that Jack?
Please consider not having anything to do with a party that's named after a person. It's destined to fail. It becomes tyrannical. It's the same. There are many parties out there. They just don't have standing or state recognition. There's three or four that have state recognition in a number of states. They don't have all the states yet. So I would think that we should look at joining an existing well-organized party, maybe like the Constitution Party. It is a functional, viable party, and it's already in multiple states. So it's just a thought.
I hear that. We're never going to win third parties if we don't have a one big movement. Listen, I'm used to be a member of the Constitution Party till they pulled some shenanigans as well. Okay, play this about time and quarter. This is going to show to you that Donald Trump's, he don't have a party. Go ahead, play it.
Week. Tonight we will be talking about America as it stands right now, which means we'll be talking about the post-election chaos. Everything is confused right now, and everyone seems confused. Most of all our politicians, the people who we voted to represent us don't seem to know who they represent anymore. Maybe it's the Sudan or Burma. I mean, after all, both of those remote countries got big money from Congress last week. Most of our elected officials seem to represent China now, at least unofficially. But it definitely isn't us. Americans hardly have any representatives at all in government. You can see this most clearly in the COVID relief bill that Congress tried to pass last week. While Americans were getting $600, Burma was getting $135 million. Sudan got $700 million and Pakistan got $15 million. The list goes on and on. This wasn't a Democrat or Republican boondoggle. This bill had broad bipartisan support. In other words, both parties wanted to give $700 billion to remote foreign countries that most of us have never visited, while giving Americans a mere $170 billion. You can say there's nothing new about this. Congress is always wasting our money. But there is something new. There was a very messy and very public breakup between the GOP and President Trump over all this. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. The average Republican voter is just waking up to the harsh reality that the GOP and President Trump don't really agree about anything. It's not a marriage anymore. It's not even dating. It's now almost an abusive relationship. The president yesterday accused his own party of having a death wish. Trump played the part of the loyal spouse, publicly supporting total buffoons like Mitt Romney and Ben Sasse in the last 4 years, while the GOP went around town sleeping with big tech lobbyists and Chamber of Commerce flops. You can see this most clearly with the Georgia runoff elections, where Trump has publicly called out Republican Governor Brian Kemp and other elected officials, while Mitch McConnell and the GOP establishment have remained totally silent. Listen to the president during the latest Georgia rally earlier this month.
And for whatever reason, your Secretary of State and your governor are afraid of Stacey Abrams. They're afraid of her.
Or take the last two major votes in Congress, the NDAA and the COVID relief bill, where the Republican Party simply abandoned President Trump in both cases. This has caused total confusion amongst Republican voters. The average Republican voter is now like the kid in an ugly custody dispute. Trump tried to keep the family together for the sake of the country, but Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney had other ideas. They think you can't wait to vote for Nikki Haley or Chris Christie in 2024.
idea to think that any state or any number of states, no matter how good they are, can challenge another state's right to run the election as they see fit. And also, there's no evidence, as I've been saying since election night, show us the evidence. And what's gotten even worse, though, Martha, I think, is the attacks by the president on good, hardworking, decent Republican governors.
That coming from the governor who spent his final days in office sitting on the beach while his state government was shut down. That's why the GOP never complained about the problems with the 2020 election, the one China and Iran interfered with, as we now know from Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe.
What they're really trying to do is, through blackmail, through bribery, through overt and covert influence, trying to make sure that only laws that are favorable to China are passed.
GOP wants its voters to move on from President Trump and has publicly ditched both Trump and his voters to prove it. See, the problem for the GOP is that 95% of its voters voted for Trump. The kids belong to Trump, not Mitch McConnell. And they don't seem to be in any mood to simply move on from the 2020 election and get excited about Chris Christie running in 2024 or go back to the losing ways of Mitt Romney and company. What happened to prominent Republican politicians right after the election? The answer is they all disappeared. Once the GOP disappeared, it began to pursue its old agenda policy, the policy agenda that existed before Donald Trump. Almost the very first night, they passed Senator Mike Lee's big tech bill allowing unlimited Indian guest workers to come into the U.S. to take the best U.S. tech jobs. The GOP Senate in particular had already tried to stop the president from building the wall, stopping mass illegal immigration and amnesty. They even tried to block him from putting tariffs on China. In other words, the GOP has completely broken from the most popular Republican president in living memory. They have opposed the president on every significant policy dispute in the last 4 years. This resembles a revolt of GOP politicians against their own voters. According to incoming Representative Marjorie, who will be joining us later on the show, Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi are crafting a plan to block members of Congress from objecting to the certification of the Electoral College votes. What does that remind you of? I mean, it reminds me of this Thelma Louise clip of them going off the cliff. Even President Trump thinks so.
These people back here and the Washington swamp. I'm also running against some rhinos. We still got some of them left. They're on mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. They're just about gone, but you don't want them to come back. The rhinos are worse than the angry, angry sicko. Democrats are ones that have gone off the ledge.
Okay, Spencer, you can
establishment
cut us
has.
So that's what it is, folks. That's what we're dealing with, and that's why I believe the trip to Washington, D.C. is so effective. Most Republicans are voting for Donald Trump, not the Republican Party. We are at a crucible. We're at a Red Sea moment that I believe if Christians rise up and are faithful, that the Lord's going to smile upon us. Come on in, Dale, and then Joe Allen and Paul Webb. Come on in, Dale. Dale disappeared. Come on in, Joe, and then Paul.
Coach, am I there? I'm sorry.
There you are. Go ahead.
You hit the wrong button. Couple points here. For one thing, what Lynn Woods has put out there about the Jeffrey Epstein, listen, defamation of character.
Yeah.
That's a specialty in law. So he's not just throwing stuff out there. And he was in that meeting in Washington, D.C. I watched this morning a clip, and it was on OAN News. It was Matt Gaetz, the representative from Florida, said exactly what this lady just said, brother. It was powerful. He said, we are breaking from the Republican Party. Yep. This is Donald Trump's party.
Come on in, Democrats. Come on in, Democrats. Shake your head, Republicans. Let's get a Christian movement going, a constitutional movement, whatever. That's where I am with this thing. Come on, Paul. Then Joe.
Yeah, Coach, I'm just saying it's all about money.
It is.
And that's the problem with our country today. Money is running the thing. And that's my fear of even another party going, because you'll have infiltration of the people that are trying to bring us down with all this money.
Well, what we need, Paul, is we need the decentralization of our government out of Washington, D.C. Require them to stay in their districts. Then we have a chance. That's exactly. This whole reformation has to take place in my mind, the way I see it. Come on in, Joe, and then Larry.
Okay. I just want to speak on y'all's travel for a minute.
All right.
If you have patience with me. There's a couple things I like you guys to consider. I know everyone's an adult. I wish I could be there, but circumstances, I can't make it. But these are some of the things that you probably need to carry with you. You know, like Coach saying about you guys staying together so you won't lose one another. But this is also that you should have on person. And I know you guys are adults and ladies and women or men here, but do some basic things. You need to have water, food, something to cover your face. You know, I know we don't like to wear masks, but they are going to be throwing out CS gas.
Tear gas, maybe. Yeah, that makes sense.
Tear gas, CS gas, going to be smoke. You need to have some kind of shelter, like a poncho or anything like that, that you could, or a blanket to carry with you. You need to have a medical bag with you. We call them IFACs in the military. Or a boo-boo kit. You need to know your movement, and that means going as a group. You need to have some form of communications, which is y'all's phones. I would do a list of everybody's going and their phone numbers to hand them out. You need to have navigation with you. You need to have the area. Each person there should have an area map of D.C. and highlight it when where you leave that train station and how to go back. And then there, it probably needs to be somebody. I know Chad's going to be there. I wish I was. But we also need to have some kind of self-defense coordination. Who's going to stand up?
We've got, believe it or not, Joseph, we got most of that stuff covered. We've been having, we've had a couple phone meetings over that. Yep.
The biggest thing is everybody needs to have is awareness of your area and continence awareness of what's going on.
Folks, here's my greatest fear. Because I've been there twice, I'm not scared of Antifa. I'm not scared of any. I'm not afraid of any of that stuff, folks. Listen, I want most of you to know that for the most part, you're going into a very, very safe environment. I really believe that, Joseph. In a very, very safe environment where isolated incidents can break out. I think it's what we're looking at. I would not take you guys to Washington, D.C. if I thought it was dangerous. Now, you always face the possibilities of some idiot sets off a bomb. Hey, we always all face that, right? But you can't live like that, right? So most thing Joseph is talking about, we've done a pretty good job of our leadership team of having most of that stuff in place.
Right.
We can't plan for everything that might happen. We just can't.
If anybody went to D.C. or not, excuse me, D.C., Virginia, the last time we stood up with our weapons, the Second Amendment, it was peaceful. Mm-hmm. People that throw trash on the ground. Everybody was courteous. Only problem we had is some of us got lost,
right?
You know, in our group, because everybody wanted to go do a certain different thing. You right. got to stay together.
Amen, thanks, Joseph. Thanks, man. We're working on all that stuff. Trust me, we are. So I appreciate that. Craig, come on in.
Hey, just one thing. Just to tag along with that, everybody that goes with you needs to know how to get back by their own. Because when you do get separated, and two, if they get over 200,000-300,000 people, which I imagine they will, you are not going to have cell phones. You're going to overwhelm the cell phone system.
Yeah, we know that. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So we have to go back to smoke signals. Paul, you want to come in then, Larry? Paul? Or is your hand still up from before? Excuse me. Paul or Larry?
No, Coach, I'm good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Larry?
Yeah, you know, a while ago somebody mentioned about party. Well, back before Pass Assault daily meetings happened, there was a outfit that tried to initiate a new party in a couple of states. And that party's their bottom line was the first people they looked for to endorse in elections was candidates from other parties that met the criteria for their beliefs.
Right.
In other words, it wasn't a party that were, you know, the party is all end all. It's a party where ideas and beliefs are the end all. And, you know, there is a current organization which plans to morph into such a party once numbers become big enough to make it practical, where they're going to be looking for candidates from the other political parties to support That way it makes that part, that candidate's support even stronger, not only from his own party, but also from the new group. And that's the kind of thing that you guys are kind of like looking for.
I agree. Here's what I think. And I know the Constitution Party. I mean, I know a lot of those parties out there, and they're all good. Here's the thing. This is only going to happen top down, folks. It's only going to happen top down. Where at some point, this party created by Trump or whoever, that's the only way it's going to happen. We've tried to do it from the ground roots up, and that takes a long time to do it. And I'm not trying to pee on anybody's parade. I agree with all of it. This is we're in a woke time like we've never been in. And I believe it's time if we could awaken Christians. What if we got all the Christians to shake off their Republican, take the Republican uniform off or their Democrat uniform off and just rally it around a righteous cause. That's what I think. That's what I think has to happen. But here's part of our problem, as always. I'm sorry. A lot of information coming out here today. I'm sorry. But do this for me. Go to Robert Jeffress. You guys know who Robert Jeffress. Here's our problem, friends. Here's our problem. I don't know much about Robert Jeffress. God bless Robert Jeffress, I think. But he's a conservative. He's a Christian and he's a conservative. Would Robert Jeffress come on my show? No. Would Robert Jeffress allow us, any of us, in his pulpit? Of course not, right? So I want you to listen to what Robert Jeffress, put it on 1.25, I think we can do it. I want you to hear the most unbelievable thing come out of this man's mouth. And think this is the type of leadership. These are the type of people that have the Christian people who have the ear of the president. Okay. When you guys ask yourselves why Trump is doing some of the things he's done, well, ask yourself, who are his advisors? If he's a new Christian, if Donald Trump's only been Christian for 3 years or 4 years or five, however long it is, and all of a sudden he's surrounded by all these religious leaders, he's a new babe in Christ. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. He's listening to these people who are influential Christians. That's what he's doing, I would think. That's what I would do. Frank Graham, you name him, right? Well, how long would you want to listen to Robert Jeffress? Go ahead, play this.
Calling the coronavirus vaccine a Christmas miracle. Just 10 days since the vaccination campaign began, more than 1 million Americans got their first dose in the last couple of weeks. But a new USA Today Suffolk University poll shows a fifth of those surveyed would not take the shot if it were available to them today. So, should community leaders and faith leaders do more to encourage people to get vaccinated? Joining us now, senior pastor at the First Baptist Church in
Dallas, Fox News. Freeze of the minute. Listen, folks, do you understand that they've made Christians nothing more than a voting block? Do you see what's going on? Faith leaders. Let's get in one of our faith leaders. We're just a voting block. That's what we've become. A subcategory voting block of the Republican Party. And listen to what you're about to hear. Go ahead.
Contributor Robert Jeffress. Good morning, Pastor Jeffress, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Nicole.
Now, it has been a devastating year, 2020, and as you know, people of faith and those looking for faith look to their faithful leaders such as yourself to give them some advice. And as we have been in the dark ages of the 2020, to get to that renaissance in 2021, we need as many Americans as possible to get the vaccination. So what is your message to your community and those around you? Do you believe that you should help in getting people to understand the benefits of this vaccine?
Absolutely, Nicole. You know, for the past 10 months, millions of Americans have been praying to God, asking for relief from this pandemic. And I believe God has answered that prayer through these vaccines. I'm calling these vaccines an early Christmas present from God. And it shouldn't surprise us that God would use science to bring healing into our world. I mean, after all, in the past, people like Isaac Newton and Blaise Pascal and Louis Pasteur were all not just men of science, but men of faith who believed God created this world in an orderly way that could be studied and benefited from. And Nicole, one chief reason we ought to take this vaccine is not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. In Philippians 2, Paul said, don't merely look out for your own interest, look out for the interest of others. And then he used the Christmas story as an example. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, not to meet his needs, but to meet our needs. And in the same way, we ought to put the needs of others even above our own.
Okay, pause it right there. Because it goes on, but pardon me. I have a gag reflex, if you know what I'm talking about here. I have a gag reflex. Does anybody see a problem with what you just heard?
Come on. Hey, he's not for Trump.
Yeah. I hear a problem with just about everything he said.
But do you understand how the media holds him up as a religious he is one of the leaders of our subgroup of Republicanism, these faith leaders. And what's this faith leader telling all of us? Oh, science is good. Why, science tells us that unborn babies aren't alive. Well, science tells us that men can be women. Science tells us that you're not born. Do you get it? Do you understand? Do you understand the deception that's being thrown at us? Come on, yep. come on in, Clay.
Yeah, it burns my backside there, Coach.
Me too.
They're saying that one-fifth of the people surveyed, did you catch that? One-fifth of the people surveyed say they don't want a vaccine. Well, I can tell you this. I believe it's a whole lot more than one-fifth. And for any of them that may be listening to this program, wanting to know how we stand on stuff, I'll just let them know right now. I'm not taking a vaccine.
Well, this is where we are. Clay, this is where we are. This is the stuff they're feeding to us. Revelation 20:15. Come on in.
That was just absolute blasphemy that poured out of his mouth.
Unbelievable.
I love how he just used the scripture to really twist the Christian heart in a negative direction, saying, you know, well, we got to look out for everyone. Yep, well, yep. How about we look out for ourselves?
How about if we look out for everyone by telling them not to take a vaccination because it could damage your DNA? How about that, Pastor? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be good, Pastor? Golly, come on in, Craig. Craig, then Paul Webb, then Silver. Come on.
Sorry, Coach. I wasn't actually going to say something, but I will now. I forgot to take my hand down. Okay. You know, the whole thing is just like I sent you a thing the other night, you know, Invectramin, vitamin D, you know, there's a whole natural way that we can get through this, and nobody's talking about that.
You mean those vitamins wouldn't be a gift from God, early Christmas present from God? He'd give us baby mutilated little baby tissue vaccinations. That's what God would do. So what is with this guy?
Well, maybe he could talk about how, like, the diet where they ate a lot of fish in Israel, remember all the fishermen, and that's high in vitamin D, and they found all the studies. God, who created people, there's not an evolution, actually has a means, and if you go through the scriptures, you could probably actually heal a lot of these things. That'd be pretty astounding.
That'd be pretty good. Nothing has destroyed Christianity more than fake science. Come on in, Paul.
Yeah, Coach. He's a leader of Christians, just like Al Sharpton is the leader of the civil rights movement. Okay.
That's right. But we can't forget. He has a presidency here probably, though, Paul. We can't forget.
Look, these are the same clowns that told him, you know, Donald Trump asked him, what do you guys want? End abortion? Homosexuality? Oh, no. Let's move the embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's true. Bingo. Bingo. Come on in, Silver. That's a bingo.
I tell you, Coach, man. This guy's the biggest POS I've ever seen in my life. Okay. I've been down to his church when it was a small church. Now it's a mega church. Okay. I mean, it covers like two or three different blocks. They own the property there, you know. There's a real nice restaurant there right across the street. But you can't smoke in the restaurant. Unless you're outdoors in the restaurant. In order to do that, they built the whole restaurant underground. It's below street level. But they have an open area where you can have a smoke, you know, with your meal, that kind of thing. You know, it's all because of, not him personally, but that church.
Well,
that church is an enemy of God.
That's right. The sellout spirit. See, he looks like a friend, doesn't he? He looks like a friend, faith community, the subset of the Republican Party, the subset that like the drunken uncle, those Christians, they stick them in a closet and then bring them out every once in a while at election time so they can get their votes. But otherwise, they stick them in a closet. It's guys like this that have sold us out. Come on in, Dale.
Tokens.
tokens. Spoken tokens. Tokens
that's
spoken.
Exactly it, Coach. They only use science to fit their narrative. And what the heck do we got a pastor on there talking about medical science? If science is so correct, then there's absolutely unequivocally 100% that the election is fraudulent because you can't have more voters than you have more votes than you have voters.
Wonder why Fox News doesn't have Rodney Howard Brown on. That would be a good, interesting guy to have on, wouldn't it? No. Come on, Tim and Naomi, one of you. Boy, we got a lot of you yakking today. Come on.
So just to let you know, First Baptist is of Dallas is the church that my Masonic family members were members of when they were still alive.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, they said that 20% of the people wouldn't take the vaccine. Well, that should not concern them at all, because they told us from the very beginning about talking about herd immunity. They said if 70% of the people were immune, then that would be herd immunity. The virus would die out. So that leaves a 10% leeway for their side without having to force that 20% to take it.
Well,
so
Larry,
they're not concerned about herd immunity. They're concerned about their power and their ability to force their will on who they want to.
How about 80% of Republicans want the election to be challenged? How come they don't have a guy on talking about that? Come on in, Myra.
Yes. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Love you all. Second Corinthians 11:14, King James Version. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Amen. It's what we're seeing,
hey,
right? Getting it. Hey, don't come in here. It's not your turn. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, it's awesome. They're rolling out the pastors at the same time they're starting to create the COVID camps. That's fabulous.
Yep, it's great, isn't it? RJ Barnett, come on in.
Hey, Coach. All right. Two quick points. One, Fox News brings on Jeffress because they're a purveyor for Big Pharma. That's all Fox News and these other networks are.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
But they wouldn't let him in. The other thing, as you're traveling, there may be people trying to join the caravan. I got a guy from Oklahoma. And I gave him your number, so he'll text or call you.
Okay.
But you all want to find a way to vet people as they do perhaps try to join the group. Make sure you know that they have a connection to somebody.
Yep. We're pretty careful on that as well. Thanks. Appreciate it, RJ. Joseph Allen. No? Are you there, Joe? Luann? If you got your hand up, take it down if you don't want to say anything.
I'm trying to push the button, Coach.
Okay, bud. Okay.
That's what you see with a false hireling. This is what you see as a false hireling.
Right. I need to go back to that one, the John 10, talk about that, don't I?
But yeah.
Get you. Yep, yep. I got to show you something else. I got to show you something else real quick. Real quick. Go to the Congress prayer. Congress prayer, Spencer. Congress prayer. I thought this was made up. I did. I thought it was. If you wait just a second, there'll be a little Spencer. There'll be a little Twitter video that'll pop up that you can play. Scroll down a little bit, bud. I thought this was made up. There it is, folks. Are you listening, folks? Listen now. This is Elijah Cummins. I think it's Reverend Elijah. I think I got the wrong name. Emmanuel Cleaver, maybe that. Whoever, it's one of those guys who's a minister who's in Congress, I think, and is doing the opening prayer. And no, this is not something you would see on Saturday Night Live. This is the truth. Listen, go.
In the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
Amen and a woman. Amen and a woman. Folks, this is the United States Congress. This isn't, folks, this is not parody. This is what we're facing. This is, if these people get in power, This is what we're facing. RJ, come in. Then Alan, come on in. RJ again. No, Alan. Come on in, Alan.
That just fits that painting up in Congress, Coach. That prayer fits that painting perfect.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Folks, we're under attack from a Christian perspective. This, my friends, is a war on Jesus. It's a war on Jesus. Now, hang on. Well, I've been for about 4 or 5 days. Have I had this up here and haven't played it yet? Did I lose it? Is it not on there? Oh, my goodness. How could I have lost that? Somebody come in while I find it. Oh, there it is. No, that isn't it. Yeah, come on in, Jack.
Little suggestion. At numbers in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, you don't have much emphasis. But if you're talking 150, 200 people in your group, you will be one of the biggest single groups there. You, Ally Polly, is really good at little jingles. You guys could start the chants and make some good stuff instead of 4 more years. You guys could actually dominate it and start the ball rolling, because a couple hundred people can make a difference. 30 or 40 is going to be hard to do, but you will be one of the biggest single groups there.
We'll do the best we can, Jack. I promise you that. Hey, Spencer, I just sent you a video. Get that, pull that thing up if you can, and put it at 1.75 speed. Yeah. Who else? RJ, your hand's still up. You trying to get in here, bud? If not, that's okay too. So I got a video of Mark Dice. I don't know if you guys know who Mark Dice is. You probably will when you see him here. And I'm waiting for Spencer to pull it up here for us for a second. And he talks about the war, folks. The war is on Christianity. Let me say this real slow so you all understand, okay? This is a spiritual war. This is not a political war. This is not a patriotic war. This is not a war between America and China. It's not a war between America and Russia. It's not a war. It's a war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of a woman. There is a war on Christianity. Go say it again real slow so you pick up on it. Shake your head, okay? It's a war on Christianity. And Mark Dice lays this out pretty well in this video. Go ahead.
To destroy America, the conspirators are determined to eradicate faith in God and dismantle organized Christianity. Attacking Jesus and Christianity is a sacrament in Hollywood because the far left hates Jesus and everything that he stands for. It's not an overstatement to say that many in key positions of power in the entertainment industry and in politics are Satanists who will someday openly embrace Lucifer as the rebel angel kicked out of heaven for defying God.
I don't care. Good. I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again. Do it again in a second. If I hear his Birkenstocks clacking this way.
That's what Hollywood thinks is great comedy. And while accepting an Emmy Award 1 year, Kathy Griffin said this.
A lot of people come up here and they thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. He didn't help me a bit. It's all I can say is, Jesus, this award is my God now!
Now, I'm not saying that people shouldn't be able to make fun of Christians, but no mainstream celebrity would dare make such insults or jokes about Muhammad, because Muslims are vigorously protected against any criticism or mockery, and only wonderful things can be said about them. Same with another group, Even a slightly edgy joke immediately ignites a barrage of attacks, and gears start moving in the well-funded and massive smear machines like the ADL and SPLC, which quickly move to destroy the person's career before they can utter another word. But hating Christians is almost as necessary as believing in climate change if you're going to be a mainstream Hollywood celebrity. There are very few open Christians in Hollywood, and most of them are has-beens like Kevin Sorbo and Kirk Cameron, who have basically been blacklisted because of being open about their faith. And Kevin Sorbo was banned from Comic-Con recently simply because he's friends with Sean Hannity. He and other Christian actors are stuck basically doing low-budget films that get little attention. They're allowed to exist for now as long as they never point out the Bible's teachings on certain subjects the left loves to celebrate. Only watered down and generic Christian messages are allowed to be said. After Guardians of the Galaxy star Chris Pratt appeared on The Late Show Stephen Colbert and happened to discuss his spirituality, many online, including actress Ellen Page, who now goes by Elliot, who's been in the X-Men and Inception, began attacking him for being a Christian and attending a church, saying that it's causing damage to society. Singer Ellie Goulding threatened to back out of a scheduled performance at the 2019 Thanksgiving NFL halftime show if the Salvation Army didn't pledge to donate money to LGBT causes, and she got the idea after her Instagram comments were flooded with complaints from her fans because the Salvation Army was sponsoring the game to announce their Red Kettle campaign, the bell ringing campaign that you see every year, which is a fundraiser for the homeless. Since the Salvation Army is a Christian charity, Goulding's fans freaked out, accusing them of being homophobic and transphobic, and they quickly bowed to the pressures and disavowed any anti-LGBT beliefs, which basically means they're disavowing the Bible. The Salvation Army also removed their position statement from their website that had made it clear what the scripture says and replaced it with one that's more inclusive. Yes, the world's largest Christian charity, whose very name, the Salvation Army, refers to the salvation of Christ, bow down cowardly to the leftist activists out of fear that they would be branded homophobic. Christians are easy targets since they're much more passive than Jews and Muslims when attacked, and Hollywood just loves to stereotype us as a bunch of superstitious bigots who just don't know how to have fun. In the rare case that there is a movie favorable to Christianity that gets widespread distribution, that too is attacked. Passion of the Christ was deemed anti-Semitic because it depicts the story of Jesus' arrest, sham trial, and crucifixion. It was the most popular film about the events to be made that wasn't a straight-to-DVD release like most others, and with Mel Gibson behind it, the film became a huge success, which caused a tremendous backlash. A film critic at the New York Daily News called The Passion of the Christ the most virulently anti-Semitic movie made since the German propaganda films of the Second World War. Many others angrily denounced the film when it came out back in 2004, and when the History Channel miniseries The Bible was released in 2013, the same cries rang out. Even though most Christmas movies aren't overtly Christian and instead focus on the importance of families reuniting and spending time together, that doesn't mean that they're not going to come under attack. As the war on Western culture continues, the Marxists have set their sights on Christmas too, as you know. The online liberal cesspool Salon.com ran a headline last year titled, "Hallmark Movies Are Fascist Propaganda," and complained that they promote heteronormative whiteness because there aren't enough LGBT characters in them or people of color. Quote, "Hallmark movies, with their emphasis on returning home and the pleasures of small domestic life, also send a not-so-subtle signal of disdain for cosmopolitanism and curiosity about the larger world," they said, which is exactly the sort of attitude that helps breed the kind of defensive white nationalism that we see growing in strength in the Donald Trump era. The article went on to say that because the Hallmark Channel airs so many Christmas movies, it is promoting, quote, "a set of patriarchal and authoritarian values that are more about white evangelicals defining themselves as an ethnic group and not about a genuine feeling of spirituality. The very fact that they're presented as harmless fluff makes it all the more insidious the way that they work to enforce the very narrow, white, heteronormative, sexist, provincial ideas of what constitutes normal." The article wasn't satire. Salon.com has a deep-seated hatred of Christianity, conservatives, and families, and is another cog in the cultural Marxist machine working to destroy the United States. Comedian Whitney Cummings was reported to the Human Resources Department of a major Hollywood studio after she wished the crew of a TV show she was working on Merry Christmas when they wrapped up for the year. She made the revelation while speaking with Conan O'Brien last December, and Conan asked her if she was being serious, and she said it was a true story, elaborating that it was when she was leaving and she just said, "Bye guys, Merry Christmas," and when she returned from vacation after New Year's, she was called to HR and scolded.
"Last year, I was working on a TV show, got in trouble with Human Resources for saying Merry Christmas to an intern. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah,
but in these times we're in, that could like trigger someone or offend them if it's not their holiday.
She didn't say which network it was, but she's been involved with some major shows like NBC's Whitney, where she played the main character, as well as CBS's sitcom Two Broke Girls, which she created.
Okay, you get the point. You get the point, right? Folks, listen. I'm going to tell you this. Get you in just a second, Randy. Christian life's going to require more courage now than any time since, I don't know when. Been a lot of times in American history where courageous men and women had to step out of their comfort zones, push back and fight back. If we can't see the veil that's coming down over the top of us, if we can't see it, if we don't understand that this is a fight to death with the left, with the God-hating left, if we don't see it, we're going to be swallowed up. So it's going to take some courage in the days ahead to stand up and speak up. Come on in, Randy, and then Dale.
Coach, you couldn't have said it any better. That's exactly what I was going to say. So God is raising up courageous, bold people that will fight for the faith and contend for the faith, not compromise it, not give in, not water it down, but to stand up. That is what he's doing, Coach. That's who we are. That's what's coming out of the churches. They're coming out of their little box, their safe zone. You remember, Coach, back, we were in Iowa, and you saw this, and this is what you did for me at that time. You talked about Obadiah was hiding the prophets in the cave, Coach, and they were prophesying in the cave to each other because they were safe. But, Coach, this is what you've done for me. You brought me out of the cave.
Amen.
Coach, we're bringing people out of the cave, out of their safe zone, that will prophesy, that will proclaim, will be bold and courageous. And this is what God's doing, Coach. It's bigger than you, bigger than me. God is doing this right now in our nation and all over the world. We got to see that right there.
Let's not miss this time of his visitation. Absolutely, Randy. Come on in, Dale.
Well, brother, two things. First thing is, I was just on Parler and I was reading Lynn Woods, and brother, he has come out and said
that
he believes that his life could possibly be in danger. He says, but I have the encryption key. And he says, and I have made provisions that if something happens to me, that this thing will get out. Now, on a second note, here I am. I'm at church yesterday. It doesn't matter whether anybody wants to believe this or not. I'm steam cleaning our carpet. We have a football banquet this weekend. And the Lord spoke. Brother, I am not a prophet, but when he speaks to me, I'm listening. And he said unto me, brother, as in the words of Dr. Benjamin Franklin, when asked, what kind of government do we have? Do we have a monarch or what? And he said, sir, you have a republic if you choose to keep it. That was a key word, choose. But the Lord told me, he says, you have a republic if you choose to fight for it. Because they just fought to have the republic. So he didn't have to say you have a republic if you'll fight for it. But we're in a position now, brother. It's not about whether we will choose to keep it. It's whether we will fight to keep it.
Yes, and the rapture ain't gonna save us. This is a deal. Come on in, Kevin.
Hey, Coach.
Okay. Yes.
My church yesterday handed me the shofar off the wall to take. And I'm bringing it. And I played a tuba when I was in grade school. I put it to my mouth and I was able to blow that shofar.
Practice all the way out here, Kevin. Put that thing out the window all the way out here, man.
I'm gonna shatter windows and I'm gonna let the Lord speak through me.
Amen.
When I'm there.
Amen. Boldness, boldness. The righteous are as bold as lions. Come on in, Silver.
Just real quick, you know, Coach, you always say, we win in the end. Not if you don't fight.
Nope. Hey, Joe, everybody else can be dancing. It's like I was watching the Ohio State Buckeyes pummel Clemson the other night. And I know that after the game, all of the Buckeye Nation, that's what they call it, the Buckeye Nation. Buckeye Nation, they're all celebrating, high-fiving each other and running around talking about how great they are, trash-talking. But you know what? It wasn't the Buckeye Nation who won that game. Those guys out on the field. That's who won the game. That's the quarterback, Justin Fields and Olave, and those guys won the game. not the people sitting in the stands. Robert Jeffress is sitting in the stands. He's sitting in the stands up there with Frank Graham, sitting in the stands. We have the war of on Christianity, and we still think we're going to win this war by being nice and kind and acting like Christians. I like the gospel of Woody Hayes. Never saw a football player make a tackle with a smile on his face. L.A. Marzulli tomorrow, man. L.A. Marzulli, don't miss it. It's gonna rock. And then we're heading to D.C. What a time we have ahead. Pray for us. God bless you for all the financial support. And we're going to represent well when we go to Washington, D.C. 120 strong. Isn't that what fell in the upper room? How many were in the upper room when there's 120? Something like that. God bless you. God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow.